Le vin est mort. Soyons clairs, le vin est mort.
That's a French winemaker speaking the unspeakable. Wine is dead. Let me be clear, he says. Wine is dead. And he makes no bones about who's to blame. America. Jonathan Nossiter is the director of the documentary film Mondo Vino. He traveled the world from France and Italy to Argentina and California, talking with the people who make and sell wine. And Strange Champs caught up with Nossiter in Brazil to find out if wine really is dead.
Wine is not dead. In some ways, it's never been as thriving. But people's ability to get access to that is shrinking every day because of marketing, because of increasing control by fewer and fewer people in the wine media and in wine distribution, and increasing consolidation is choking it off. And so, yes, more and more wines are starting to resemble each other, whether you're paying $5 or $50 or $500, whether you're buying wine from Napa or Chile or Bordeaux. You know, and this is a real danger. You know, in a sense, customers are getting ripped off because they're seeing hundreds of different bottles with different labels and hundreds of different price points, but they're getting product which is becoming more and more similar.
Through the globalization, if you will, of wine growing and the communication of what's going on in the new world and the old world, there's a renaissance going on right now in Bordeaux of upgrading the facilities and realizing that they can't just do things traditionally. Tradition's great, but it needs to be complemented with the modern technologies.
It's much more dangerous than that. It's much more evil than that.
It's evil.
It's worse than plastic surgery, because with plastic surgery you can still get the interior person. Once this stuff is put on, wine has lost its soul.
Well, a lot of the film's action takes place in France and Italy and around the world of kind of classic winemaking in those countries. What do you see is happening there? What's changing right now?
In one sense, Europe and America are becoming more and more alike. You know, as the global economy and global political systems start to resemble each other more, what you see happening in Italy is also what's happening in the States. I mean, someone like Neil Rosenthal, an American wine importer in Brooklyn, is engaged in the same fight as a Sardinian winemaker, Battista Colombo, or a very wealthy and successful French winemaker in Burgundy, Hubert de Malty.
And what is that fight?
The fight is taking the position of true globalists, because the film is very much, to me, a defense of the need for real globalization in the world. You know, I see myself as a real globalist. I'm an American, but I grew up all over the world because my dad was a journalist. And I see, you know, this Sardinian, this Burgundian, this New Yorker, I see all of them fighting to find a way to preserve cultural diversity and individuality in a world which is increasingly trying to homogenize everything, and which, you know, corporate takeovers like the Constellation takeover of Mondavi are becoming more and more predominant and are squeezing the possibility for your listeners in Madison or listeners in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, from getting access to the beautiful diversity of the world's wines.
I want to talk a little about the wine critic, Robert Parker. Some people have called him the most influential critic in the world of anything. And he's had a huge impact on what you're calling the homogenization of wine, right?
Well, he's an interesting paradox. You know, I think a very interesting American paradox. Because he started his career in the early 80s, late 70s. You know, he was a lawyer from Baltimore. And he took a look at the system in Bordeaux at the time. And he said, hey, this is rotten. These people are riding on their ancient reputations and half of them are doing lousy work. And he was a real whistleblower. And I think was a really effective voice in democratizing wine for Americans at the time. You know, having the guts to go up against the existing power structure. The amazing thing that's happened in the last 25 years is Americans have become incredibly powerful consumers in the world of wine. He has become the guru, and he, in a sense, has replaced one power structure with another, whether he's wanted to or not. And so he is a kind of interesting paradox about what it is to have power in any one world.
What I'm very proud of is that I think that I brought up an American point of view to this sort of elitist beverage. And particularly in France, I suppose, where there's so much invested with these old families that many of them go back to pre-revolutionary times and have these noble estates and this incredible heritage and history. And here comes this American who comes over and calls your wine a casual picnic wine, and, you know, and rates some upstart neighbor that's making a, you know, in my palate, a better wine, gives it a better review. This is incredibly unnerving.
One of the dangers, I guess, with having figures, single figures like Robert Parker or like these international wine consultants, one of the dangers, I guess, is that you'll have a whole lot of wine made to suit one person's taste. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's not actually one person's. I mean, you know, I think that if you put together Parker with Wine Spectator with other influential wine magazines in each individual country, you get a kind of unanimity about what constitutes good wine. And it's not that they're wrong. It's just that whenever you have consensus and an excessive concentration of power in the hands of too few people, you are inevitably going to get a homogenization of taste.
So what is this particular homogenized taste? I mean, can you describe the kind of wine taste that we're getting now?
Well, the kind of wine that's increasingly being made is wine which is sweet, fruity, round, easy to taste, alcoholic, because alcohol has, the glycerin has sweetness in it. It's a wine that comes on to you like an easy date, and you get your one-night stand out of it. But, you know, I mean, I think, you know, wine is an expression of love, and if you look for something more in a relationship than a one-night stand, then I think a lot of this too-easy-to-drink wine, like a too-easily-consumed film, becomes a danger. I mean, I like films that will provoke me, that will scratch me a little bit, that will, you know, and I like wines personally that, you know, have a little, you know, I like people that way too, they have a little bit of fight in them and aren't just going to, you know, cuddle up to me and say yes right away.
So this universal style of wine that's emerging, it's that kind that's, it's the big taste. It's all the tastes are right there out front in the first mouthful. It's something
that's right, because and they're also designed to win competitions, and they're designed to impress people on a very superficial basis. Gee, is this sounding like presidential debates? You know, I mean, I think, you know, wine is a reflection of culture, and I think that there has been a kind of inexorable movement in the last 30 years in the U.S., beginning with Reagan, very calculated movement towards a kind of embrace of infantilism, of childishness of taste.
You say we're getting a lot of wines for uneducated people?
No, what I'm saying is we're getting a taste that is catering to the lowest common denominator, that is, you know, instantly sweet and easy. And, you know, that's fine if you're talking about Coca-Cola, but, you know, what for several thousand years has been interesting about wine, good or bad, is that it has been individual, whether it's made in large quantities or small quantities, whether it's peasant wine or very refined wine, it doesn't matter. And I you know, I think it's a kind of beautiful metaphor for a response to the dangers of a world which are homogenizing our products, infantilizing our taste, trying to turn us into robots so that we accept the great institutional lies of marketing, you know, from wine to movies to politics to shoes.
Jonathan Nossiter is the director of the documentary called Mondovino, and Strange Champ spoke with him.